So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
And the pitcher, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Former American League Cy Young Award winner. Over four decades of excellence in the booth. No one breaks down baseball like Stoney.
I mean, I had heard tell that there was a time in baseball where you actually got signals from the catcher and they threw the ball without a pitch count.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve Stone with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune sitting in for David this morning. And we're delighted to welcome in Steve Stone. Does a great job with the White Sox and one of the great Chicago baseball institutions of all time. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo. com. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Fine, Mully. How are you?
Living the dream.
Yeah, how are you?
Very good. Thanks.
And Steve, it's so much fun to talk to you because there's so much to talk about, not the least of which is Colson Montgomery. And here's a guy we've been waiting on for many a year. And I got to tell you, there were times when it didn't look like it was going to happen. He got on a nice hot streak. They brought him up in Colorado. I don't know what we know, but it certainly looks as if the defense is a little better than advertised. He's been very good defensively thus far.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. You never really know what's going to happen when a player gets called up, and the one thing that was constantly a challenge with Colson is the offensive aspect of it. And then he came up, you know, we had been told he had worked on his defense, that the footwork was a whole lot better, and the glove was certainly steady enough, and now he's made two just outstanding plays to go with all the routine plays. He's shown he's got a very strong arm, so any concern about defense, at least from what I've seen in a very short sample size, has pretty much been put to bed. And now the only question will be, as it is with just about every player up here, but especially the young players who haven't established themselves yet, is the emphasis going to be on the on the offensive aspect of it. Can you consistently hit the baseball, show a little bit of power, and give the Sox what they really need from the left side, a guy who can hit the ball out of the ballpark and play solid defense, and so far so good.
Stoney, it's great to talk to you. Got to ask about reunion weekend coming up this weekend. 20 years, the 2005 team will be celebrated. I'm curious how you would contextualize what that team was and whether that postseason run is maybe a little bit underrated for how dominant they were in that stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you win 11 of 12 games and throw four complete games in a row, you're certainly getting it done. And the team actually came together playing its best baseball of the year during the postseason, which is ideal. If you're looking to have everything come together, that's a great time for it to come together. And that's what the 2005 team was. So it was a team with a lot of characters, mm-hmm. and a lot of character. I think both of those things certainly can be true, and I would think it was for that 2005 team. So it's going to be great for everybody to come back to the ballpark. When you talk to all these players, they talk about championships being nice, and obviously when you get into baseball, the one thing you want to do is win the World Series for whatever team you're on. But it's the it's the relationships you make with your teammates that you take forward, that camaraderie that you find in a major league locker room that you have a hard time really finding anyplace else. And I think that's one thing, that's a recurrent theme of everybody you ask when they come back, what's it like to be back? And they all tell you it's just great to be with the guys again because you spent a great deal of time with them in a winning effort and something that you'll never forget, and now you get a chance to rekindle that.
Yeah, Steve, it was so sad to see Bobby Jenks pass, and it just reminded me of how crazy that was with the closer position in that year. You know, you started out and you had, I think it was Shingo started out, then you went to Dustin Hermanson, and then eventually you go to Bobby Jenks. And I mean, it was like I didn't see a lot of guys throwing 100 miles an hour at that point. And his first pitch was like 102. And then, you know, he's on the field for one of the great moments of me as a sports fan watching the White Sox win a World Series. So it was just crazy that you went through three closers in that year and you know, landed on the best one at the end of it.
Well, especially because, you know, a lot of people, when they think back, they remember the dominant presence of Bobby Jenks. Not only what he did baseball-wise, but just his physical presence. I mean, he was a giant at the time. And he would come in, you know, you just got that portly guy coming in with Ozzie making the gestures to the bullpen, which was something pretty interesting. And, you know, he only had the 6 regular season saves. That's it, 6 of them.
Wow.
And yet he was the guy that took this team as the closer into the postseason and got it all done. But I think you're right about the three closers. I can't remember a team that has 3 distinct closers in the same season and winds up winning the World Series. I'm not sure we're going to see that again, because the conventional wisdom is have one guy who you can put in at the back end who gets people out. But it didn't work out that way.
The thing with Ozzie, I think I remember this correctly, is he was out changing pitchers one time and he touched his left arm, which meant he was bringing in a lefty as opposed to the right arm, and they made him bring in a left-handed pitcher. Something like that happened, and that's where he developed the thing with "I want the big guy." As he stopped touching an arm, he started, you know, showing the size of Bobby Jenks. And apparently they're using that on a bobblehead of Ozzie later in the year, which I don't know why, but I always thought that was one of the funniest things. Yeah.
I don't know that to be a fact, only because I wasn't there then.
Right.
I was looking at it, watching it from afar, rooting obviously for the White Sox, the Chicago team and all. And, I just thought it was one of those really enchanted years, especially when they got into the postseason. I don't know that it sounds like that probably is the case, because sometimes you go out there and you don't realize exactly what you're doing till after the fact. But I'm sure Ozzie went out there with a game plan, just didn't work out that way. So quite possibly that could be it.
Steve, we've had a lot of All-Star talk this morning and throughout the week. When you look at Shane Smith, there's obviously can be a debate on whether he's worthy of that honor or not. But what's your appreciation for the story and what he's been this year?
Well, when you look at how many guys in his situation actually make it to the All-Star game, and then you factor in not only that he's a rookie, but the fact that he's a Rule 5 draft, and I think the only other Rule 5 draft in the same year they were drafted who made it to the All-Star game was Dan Uggla, who was a middle infielder with the Marlins at the time, and he turned out to be a pretty good hitter. There's been some great Rule 5 drafts in history. However, most of them don't deliver the way that you expect them to deliver in that first year. So the whole story is really remarkable. And the fact is, watching him in spring training and trying to figure out if there was 40 other guys in the Milwaukee organization who were better than that guy, then they're going to win the World Series for sure. And as we know, they're three and a half games back, whatever the case may be at this point. But, that was probably a mistake. However, what I learned was that Smith gained velocity on his fastball as well as that new changeup.
Right.
So he was a completely different pitcher than he was in Milwaukee. And look, there's a lot of great Rule 5 drafts. Johan Santana was a Rule 5 draft. Obviously, everybody in that organization felt that we can't use this guy anymore. He went on to a great career. Roberto Clemente was a Rule 5 draft. And as we know, 3,000 hits, a Hall of Fame designation. If the Dodgers knew that he was that good, probably wouldn't have let him go.
I thought it was astounding that the Colorado series was the White Sox ninth series win of the season, and they only had nine all of last year. So they've matched that total. It tells you that they're doing better. It tells you that some of the younger guys are playing well. They're certainly a lot more watchable. But I just wonder, with the trade deadline approaching, what do you expect? I mean, how much action do you think? Is it possible that they could try to link a couple of players together the way they did to get Vargas, which looked like a terrible deal last year, but it's turned pretty well this season? Are you anticipating a lot of action, Steve, as we are entering this crucial period heading first to the draft and then to the trade deadline?
Well, one of the advantages of finishing up the track, and there's not too many of those advantages, but one of the advantages is that you get a chance to take a look at a lot of young players. And when you do that, you realize a couple of different things. Number one, unlike last year, and I know the records are similar. I mean, you know, the Sox are sitting there at 30-61. They're only playing 330 baseball. However, they're playing a better brand of baseball. And unlike last year, you're taking a look at some guys that you can envision actually being on the field when this team starts to turn it around with a couple of additions. And I don't think we saw that last year. So a couple of the young guys look to me like they're going to be building blocks. That's a big difference. But that being said, there's also a lot of guys that you brought in specifically to be able to flip at the deadline. And there's some very attractive players. Obviously, when you take a look at the sellers, there's not near as many sellers as there is teams that are going to be buyers because of both the wild card race and the division title, and teams that aspire to go, not only aspire to go into the postseason, but are going to get to the postseason. They're going to be want to be the buyers. And because there is there's a limit on the amount of players that are available that are serviceable, the first name that comes to mind is Adrian Hauser. I assume that Chris Getz is going to be fielding a lot of phone calls for Adrian, who's been just magnificent. I think it's been eight straight, just unbelievable starts. And then you have, you have Luis Robert, who a lot of teams still will trade for. Now, the only question is, what can you get in return? Because quite obviously, there's been a few physical issues as well as the actual issue of hitting over 200. But he's still one of the premier base stealers in the game and plays a Gold Glove caliber center field. So that has some value, and we'll see what happens. But I would anticipate the Sox to be fairly busy. Mike Tauchman's another one of those guys. There's a lot of teams that would covet him, as well as Austin Slater. There's a lot of teams who have trouble with left-handed pitching. Austin Slater would be a guy that they would really be interested in because he's always hit the lefty starters and the lefty relievers if he happens to still be in the game at that point. So there are some valuable guys, and the Sox definitively sellers. I think that Chris Getz, once he gets by the draft, and this draft is coming up, and guys, they've got to do something about this. This draft is too close to the trade deadline.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's too many teams involved with in-depth study, bringing in all their scouts, so all their scouts that look at colleges and high schools, and they come in and they have intensive meetings trying to figure out just exactly who they're going to draft. And before you know it, you turn around and here's the trade deadline, and now you're having to go through about a month and a half long hell week. And I just think it's congested and doesn't have any reason to be. So these are one of the things that they're going to address.
What's the easiest solution to that in your mind in fixing that in a way that makes sense for everybody?
Oh, you just move the draft back. I mean, nothing really happened in the last couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, whatever the case may be, that's going to affect a whole lot of what happens in the draft. I mean, you know, you get the occasional late injury to certain players. Sometimes, you know, in the College World Series or pursuit of the College World Series, you get a guy hurt that could affect his draft status. But for the most part, they're pretty locked into who they want at various levels. You know, this guy, if he's still on the board, we want him. This is what we're looking for. And Chris Getz said yesterday that the organization has done a great job of stocking itself with quality arms up and down through this system. And the emphasis of this draft is going to be on position players, hopefully with some power. Because Chris knows we play in a power ballpark. You saw it yesterday. Toronto comes in, they hit three home runs, they win the ball game. Basically, those home runs put the game away. I mean, they held on a little bit later, but they got a great running start by hitting the ball out of the park. This is a home run hitter's park. So 81 times a year, the Sox are at a disadvantage as they watch almost each and every team come in with more power than they have. And you have to take advantage of where you play your home games, because you're going to be in a one specific park 81 times. If it's a disadvantage, you're probably not going to win too much. If it's an advantage, you can take advantage of that. And we see it when you look at Toronto, and Toronto's a pretty decent team, as we've seen. But at home, they're 32-16. You put them on the road, they're 21-22, meaning they're an adequate baseball team away from their home ballpark, but they take advantage of their home ballpark by having home run hitters in a home run park, something the Sox have to do.
Steve, you know, I'm sure you were gutted, as I was, to see Mike Rizzo get fired. What a great guy, friend of the program, came on a few times. You had talked to us about him, and obviously Dave Martinez fired as well. It doesn't make a ton of sense at this time of year with everything going on, but I guess there were some sort of contractual issues involved. I don't quite understand it, but man, what a good dude. Chicago guy made good, and it's just sad to see.
Well, I was very good friends with both his father, Phil, who was a longtime scout, and Mike, who worked his way up through the system. I mean, he was with the Diamondbacks, and he did a really nice job helping to put that team together. And I think for a long time with the Nationals, you know, it's really funny because you start to win, and that team was a pretty good team for a while. They brought some really good players to the major leagues. And, you know, you're somewhat of a genius. And all of a sudden, the same guy, the same exact guy with a little bit more experience, becomes an idiot. So, you know, it's really, it's what have you done for me lately game. Yeah, you're a genius. Look, guys, I call it, for executives, the Sparky Anderson syndrome. When Sparky could write Bench and Rose and Perez and Morgan and Dreesen and Griffey and Concepcion, when he could write them in the lineup, he was a genius. Mm-hmm. But he took a 48-minute plane ride to Detroit, and he became an idiot because he finished last. The same genius in Cincinnati was an idiot in Detroit. But you know what? 4 years later, they get him a terrific baseball team. 1984 comes up. He goes 35-5 the first 40 games, puts the season away in the first month and a half, and now Sparky's a genius again. So with great players, you can do really well. And if you look at some of the draft choices that Mike Rizzo made and then turned it over to Dave Martinez, you'll see that that was a pretty good and potent combination. And hopefully Mike lands on his feet as well as Dave. They're both really good guys. They're both really good baseball guys.
Great stuff, Stoney. It's so much fun to catch up with you. Really glad to see you back and doing games. And it's a blast. Hopefully we get through this next portion with the draft. They've got the 10th pick.
Yeah.
You keep hearing different rumors about high school shortstops. We'll see what happens. It's a lot of fun.
It's not one of those Bobby Witt-type drafts where you take a look at the top and you see some guys who are going to go for sure. But this draft has some wider talent than most. So we'll see. I mean, the Sox should get a pretty good player at 10.
Yeah.
We'll see exactly what happens, and hopefully they will draft a little power, boys.
Yeah.
Great stuff, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
Thanks. Steve Stone. Always fun to talk to him. And here it comes. Are you ready? We're giving it away. Giveaway time. You feel it? Hey, baseball fans, be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line for your chance to win tickets to Baseball After Dark at Wildfire in Glenview on July 23rd with special guest Michael Bush. It's presented by Huntington Bank. Life is a masterpiece. Make your money story a bestseller and join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating wonderful memories. And the number to call right now is 312-540-0670. 312-540-0670. That is the number to call, and we're going to be giving away pairs of tickets all week long. You want to be here. You want to see Michael Bush. You want to have one of the greatest meals of your
life.
There
you go. Yeah.
I love Wildfire. Honestly.
Let's get over there, yeah.
You know, I've always told my kids, and I think it holds up especially well at Wildfire, that you should never order a steak at a fish house, but you can always order fish at a steakhouse.
I agree with that.
And I love the halibut, what do you call it? Macadamia
nut-crusted
halibut.
Yeah, there you
Holy
go.
Mother of...
There you go.
The good Lord, it's unbelievable.
Good stuff. Get a filet if you want it, halibut if you want it. Either way.
You can't lose. You
cannot lose.
It's a winner, even the chicken dinner. We'll be right back. Mully and Haw, we've got Dan Weeder at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7, The Score.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Listen to the Mully and Haw Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
It's Shota time.
Shota the money. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Fantastic to get a Shota start tonight in Minneapolis. It'll be great because the Twins aren't playing very well right now, and they're pretty much... one of those teams that's kind of hanging around but is done.
Yeah.
So the Cubs could put final touches, get a nice sweep up in Minnesota. I just don't like that team just traditionally.
Understood.
Because of being a South Sider and growing up as a Sox fan. It's like, it's the pariahs. They drive you nuts. So it'd be great to see the Cubs win. And Shota, always a fun guy to watch.
Good to see him trying to rediscover his rhythm since mm-hmm. he came back, and you feel good about the direction of where that's gone. I know that when you have an injury like he had, it's not taking any toll on your arm, right? So you should be fresh arm-wise, and hopefully he can continue that through the remainder of the second half of the season, because as we talk about, when the Cubs start to think about dreaming those biggest of dreams, it's got to start with an engine in your pitching staff. And right now, Imanaga's got to be the guy that kind of propels you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Matthew Boyd has had a great season, and he's really filled a role that was pretty unexpected when you go into the year. But Shota's their best pitcher, mm-hmm. especially with Justin Steele down. And if he hadn't gotten hurt, he'd probably be the all-star pitcher that would be joining the outfield boys in the All-Star game in Atlanta. Yeah.
It's good to see that. The rotation is going to be everything, and we know that they're going to mm-hmm. try to add pieces to that. We heard from Bruce earlier talking about kind of the continued incremental growth from Cade Horton, and you feel good about the direction that's heading, and you just want to stack some of these things together. And
you know, you feel really good about Cade Horton, but you got to wonder, is there going to come a point as the year goes on where they start saying, you know, four innings only, or they start – I mean, this happens with young players, and he hasn't hit some of those number of innings that usually you build up to and you keep going with. So, and that's going to be one of the issues you're going to have to deal with moving forward. I also think that when you think about it, you're down a pitcher, you know, I don't know, Jameson Taillon, mm-hmm. you know, that when they announced that injury, it was like, it's going to be a while. And I think Bruce asked, well, like a month?
Right.
Yeah, it'll be over a month.
Like, strange one.
What does that one mean? You know, it seems like over a month could be 2 months. It could be 6-7 weeks, right?
You never like hearing the words a while.
A while.
In any sport with any injury, because that just feels like, oh, God, like it's not, we'll see, you know, we're going to take a day. A while always brings the alarm bells. And look, like it's, we've talked about it. It's going to strain you a little bit. Jordan Wicks back up the other night, looked all right as he knocked some rust off against the Cardinals. And
As a starter.
No,
he's
right.
Brought like back in the bullpen.
Out of the pen, and you know, you got to shore up that bullpen too, right? And then you've got to figure out how to make up for some of these starts that Tyon will miss. But yeah, again, Shota has got to be your engine here,
yeah,
and tonight's a good chance to keep that momentum rolling.
Yeah, get you know, they're playing good baseball. Obviously, they're like, you know, one inning away from a six-game winning streak, whatever way you want to look at it. But they're playing good baseball. You're going against the team that's not playing good baseball. Take advantage of it.
You got to. You got to win these series that you're supposed to win. They've been doing a good job of that all year long, and that's why they have the lead that they have in the division. And you just got to keep stacking them. Again, with two road series, obviously first in Minnesota and then off to Yankee Stadium for the weekend. And then you get to catch your breath while the outfield boys go put on a show in the All-Star game.
And Toronto, the White Sox went up there and beat Toronto, and they apparently like stared into a mirror and reevaluated their lives, because they've been really good since losing to the second worst team in baseball in a home series, and they are playing the second game of that series, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can get to 10 consecutive wins. Right, Toronto kind of more the story than the White Sox, but the White Sox, they still are, they still have a fan base, and they still have people that care. A few.
What would be your bullseye for them in the second half of the season? Obviously, just what qualifies as a good target for this team for the last 70 games?
You know, I think I've mentioned this before that like Talkman makes them a significantly better team, so they're apparently trading him, right? So you're trading him if indeed, maybe we're going to keep him. But I think they try to trade him. I hope it doesn't come into some kind of package deal. But I think they're going to try to they're trying to move as many pieces as they can, because I don't think there is any major goal in the second half of the season other than to make sure you win more games than you did a year ago. But I think everyone understands they're going to lose 100 games. Is that the third consecutive year? I lose track, but it feels like it's the third consecutive year. Are they going for a fourth consecutive year? I mean, they're bringing up a lot of young players.
That's it, right? And so, like, what do those guys need to do to convince you that, okay, these are indeed building blocks? I feel like we've been through it with, you know, it's not that long ago that we saw Luis Robert as a building block, Eloy as a building block, Kopech as a building block, and then you're like, So how do you establish who the true building blocks are, and can that be done a little bit down the stretch of this year?
Well, I think, you know, when we talked to Bruce, you want to be good up the middle of the field. They've got two catchers they should really like. As far as position players go, they've got two catchers that you really like. And when you look at the rebuild, you'd have to say, they've got two catchers that you really like. I mean, they got another Montgomery in Class A that you really like. Looks like you got one outfielder. Is George, you know, Wolkoff 2 years away, 1 year away? I mean, he's like, you know, Paul Bunyan. He's going to come up and hit bombs. I don't know, man. I don't see I don't see this the riches that are, you know, they're got a couple catchers you like.
It's such a hard place to be at, isn't it? I mean, it's such a hard place to be at.
And they got some pitchers you kind of like. They also have a bunch of guys that have Tommy John that are going to be coming back at some point. There's no Nick Pastrini. He's not coming to the rescue. He's gone. So they've lost players for nothing. Young pitchers, kind of a bad idea. I don't mean to be down on it, but I you asked me what my expectations are.
Just looking for a target.
You know, 41 is the target. So when you get past 41 wins, then you know, hey, they did it.
That should happen.
That should happen.
Probably before Labor Day, ideally.
I mean,
I feel bad.
I don't know what to say to you.
I was hoping for more cheer and more optimism, and it is what it is.
If they could get a player, then he could come up and play. right? I say this sincerely, and I've said this to David, that the Cubs have a couple of outfielders that are blocked in their minor league system that would be starting on the south side, yeah. Right? No question. So you can't move Benintendi. You know, are you going to get anything for Luis Robert? Brandon's idea of bringing him back, they're not going to pay him. So I don't know. I mean, honestly, if you're not going to – if they don't trade Luis Robert by the deadline, is there a chance that they DFA him before the year is over and then try to put a tag – just try to get a draft pick or something out of that? I don't know. I don't know what it would be. But it doesn't seem like there's any market for him. I mean, I again, we know Philadelphia has been eyeballing him for a while, and we know that they need speed in the outfield in San Francisco. I mean, is anybody going to – he can run. He can steal a base. He hasn't hit his weight. And this was a guy that we thought was a pretty good player. And it is embittering to think about trading a guy that's absolute rock bottom.
Yeah. I mean, the whole saga is a little bit sad as you trace it from where
you're
it started
right.
to where it is now. Yeah. I mean, I guess thank God for the Cubs being in this playoff push that they're in. Otherwise, the entire Chicago sports landscape would be lost in the wilderness. Yeah. It's been so long since any of these teams have been able to be relevant on the highest level, on the biggest stage, and you're just kind of craving that. you do this every morning.
You really stump me with the what are your expectations for the second half. I mean, they're not very high. I've got two catchers that you really like.
That should be one of those obvious shirts. So get that out there. You can wear that every Friday for the remainder of the year.
that was me being positive. What would you say, Brandon? That's your team?
I mean, I don't want to steal your thing. The catchers is key. They need a star. And maybe that's probably the Sox fan got a little hope with the new owners. You're hoping like, okay, maybe with bigger pockets. Now when free agency happens or somebody's going to come, maybe we can get that person. I remember we teased like a month ago, we talked about maybe Paul Skeens could come here. Maybe.
That was a joke.
But who knows?
Yeah,
like, and that's all you got is really hope.
Yes.
And that's really it as a Sox fan right now.
So you figure in 29 they'll get a good player?
29 is the target.
Okay.
Nobody does hope like Chicago. Nobody does hope like Chicago.
I've been hoping for years. Bears fans, we've been hoping. Bulls fans, we hope. So.
Yeah, we got a lot of big hopes going on. By the way, the Summer League games start on Friday. I don't know if
you mentioned
that. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, you did mention that. Let's go, Summer League. Yeah.
DVR set.
I love that you took that step. You went that to that length to make sure that if I don't catch it live, I'm going to DVR this.
Oh, no. I've already DVR'd it.
When
seriously.
Will you guys watch that? When do you watch the Summer League on DVR?
I will
DVR?
Likely watch it live.
Saturday morning?
But if I don't, I get up fairly early. You know, the problem with our schedule is that sleeping in is 6 a.m., so, you know, if I get up at 6, my kids are sound asleep. I'm by myself downstairs. I'll make a nice cup of coffee. It's so funny because, I watch a lot of NBA. I love the NBA. But I watch a lot of, like, West Coast basketball a day later or a couple days later. I will, on a Saturday morning, typically watch like 3 episodes of Inside the NBA.
Oh, very nice.
Just fast forward through whatever game is finishing up and then watch the guys go. I just love that stuff. And I'll watch a lot of sports programming and delete a lot of sports programming on a Saturday morning, Sunday morning.
I didn't expect the Summer League to be in the priority list, but it's good. It's
there. I don't know what to say.
I love it.
If you're a Bulls fan, I mean, you got to watch the Summer League because pretty much the face of the team is Buzelis and Noah. Those are the guys now.
There you go.
Heard me earlier. I'm excited to see Essengay just kind of move.
You know,
what does it look like? What does the bounce look
How
like?
Does the
what
shot is, look?
Yeah. Just and again, shot. Like the length.
It's going to look like Colson Montgomery's.
He's got length. He's got defensive versatility. Yes. You want to start to see that come to fruition and materialize a little bit. And
he's got finish, right? He can dunk. That's going to be a fun thing to see. Run the floor and dunk. I don't even know. You know, KC says he has very low expectations for him this year. So, I mean, you know, Casey kind of has a good feel.
He's
for
18,
what he's
right?
He's 18 years old.
Yeah, that's wow. Young. That's young. Remember when you were 18?
No. No. Was I ever 18?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was kind of 26 pretty much when I was 18. I'm being honest. I was always kind of a little beyond my, you know, I was bigger.
I've been 26
older.
For the last 22 years.
Yeah, well, I'm stuck on that one.
That's never got past it.
It was a very winning age. Hey, I guess the WNBA is playing a game at 10:30 this morning. Is that accurate?
That is correct. 10:30.
Are you sure that's not a rebroadcast?
I'm looking right now. 10:30. And Washington Sky.
The
Mystics.
Sky at Washington.
Got to be a camp day. Fill up the buses, kids at summer camp, roll them in there, and put on a little show. That is an odd time.
WNBA
Tuesday morning.
Do that too. They always have that one game where it's like in the afternoon on a weekday or something like that, like a camp day, pretty much. Yeah,
that's nice.
Let's see what happens
camp
there.
Day.
Yeah,
somebody said that every one of the names of the teams, I heard this on a podcast like a year ago, that every name of the team sounds like a form of pot, you know. I've got the Sky. Oh no, I'm going to get the Mystic. And like, think about all the names.
Fever.
Of the team. Yeah, they
Spark.
That's what I'm saying. It's pretty funny.
They should start marketing.
Yeah,
get into some dispensaries. Really,
there you go.
Really turn it up.
I mean, I just think that's pretty funny. But we got the Mystics against the Sky in
the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning, if you're interested in that stuff in the morning.
If you like to wake and bake. Is that it?
There you go.
Wouldn't know. But, all right, we've got, is it Leland Marshall today? We got everyone here. We're going to have a little talk with them next. Looking forward to it. It's been a great day with Dan Wiederer, and we'll come back and we'll say goodbye and we'll chat to our colleagues, Mully and Hall, on the Score.
So you have a podcast and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.